Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And this episode is actually a response to the poetry episode we featured last week. So Chasley issued a challenge to both Katie and me and recommended some different poetry compilations.
And as you know from previous episodes, we cannot turn down a challenge.
No, we can't. So we actually both read, I think, both books mm-hmm. in full.
Yeah.
And we are ready to talk about them.
Who wants to go first? Rock, paper, scissors?
Maybe. Let's do it.
Okay. Okay. We didn't specify what winning meant, but I guess that means I go first.
All right.
Okay, so I got the same book that Chasley read. She actually passed it on the trail to me. I checked it out. Wild Embers by Nikita Gill. And she gave you a little background in the previous episode about where Nikita Gill got her, not like fame, but where she started getting an audience on Instagram and how that led to her being published in more traditional platforms. And I read through the book. A lot of it you've already been told a little bit by Chasley, but I will continue that and say one of my favorite parts of this book is that she talks about space a lot. She specifically talks about just the kind of esoteric philosophical idea that the way the universe is made, people are all made from the materials from, like, the Big Bang. So, kind of, in a way, you're a celestial body. in its own way. It's a very poetic way to look at that. But she has a very... Well, it's called Wild Embers. Let's compare her to a phoenix. It's very much like something or someone has done something very bad to me. And instead of letting it destroy me, I'm going to be even better when I come back. Because, as we mentioned before, basically celestial bodies. So it's very much about valuing yourself as a person because a lot of random things in the world happen to make you. So that makes you super special. Even if other people don't treat you that way, you need to treat yourself that way. And one of the poems that I really liked that talked to that aspect a lot was called Your Heart Is Not a Hospital. And her poems are very short, so I'm going to read one to you. So, Your Heart Is Not a Hospital by Nikita Gill. Your body is not a first aid kit for broken people and damaged souls and hearts that are too tired to fix themselves. Your heart is not a hospital to rejuvenate and spend all of its lifeblood on other people's problems and sadnesses. You have been created from the blood of incalculable planets and immense supernovas and infinite constellations, and they didn't spend years painting your soul into a masterpiece-like existence for you to waste it on someone who doesn't appreciate you. And while all of her stuff is very, like I said, very, like, powerful, where she, it's very, I don't want to say aggressive, but it is.
It's a rallying cry.
Yeah, it's a rallying cry, where a lot of her stuff is like that. I chose this one because in a much more subtle way, it's something that I think a lot of people have to go through, especially when you're, like, in late teens, early 20s. There's this period a lot of people go through, I think, where they think it's okay to spend all of their energy and time, like, fixing someone. And while it's not bad to want to put effort into people, I think a lot of people like me may take it too far where they're letting people hurt them because they think it helps the other person. And this is kind of a realization I came to where I was like, no, you know what? Like, I'm not here to make you feel better. That's not my purpose in the world. So as much as I wish you did feel better, that's not why I'm going to be with you. To make you feel better. I'm not a band-aid. I'm a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was a big fan. If you do like things that make you feel like a little bit like cool and powerful, I would definitely say check out Nikita Gill, Wild Embers, because it does give you that feeling of like you're definitely going to triumph over the next thing you do because she makes you feel real. What about you, Leslie?
All right. So I did not know how to feel about this recommendation when Chasley first said it. She gave me Depression and Other Magic Tricks by Sabrina Benaim.
Yeah, I can see how you would get that and be like,
yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty honest about, yes, I do struggle with depression, yeah. And it has been a very real part of my life for 20 plus years. And I feel like there are good ways and bad ways to talk about depression.
You're always kind of afraid they'll do it the bad way when you get something that says in a big banner, depression.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing I really appreciated about these poems was, yes, they were permeated with sadness. Mm-hmm. There was nothing about it that felt unhealthy or mm-hmm. wallowing in a bad way.
Yeah.
It was more just, as I was reading it, I was like, wow, this is a kindred spirit. And mm-hmm. this is somebody that understands exactly yes. where I've been. Even though we have not had the same life experiences.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that you talked about Nikita Gill being more like a phoenix. If I were to put an element with this book, it would be water. She mentions mm-hmm. fish quite often. She mentions being a mermaid and some other stuff like that. So it
yeah.
is very much...
Nikita Gill is very much fire.
Yes, and this is very much water.
That makes sense. Like, going with the flow, to be really cheesy. Letting it wash over you as opposed to drowning in it or trying to... like, get away from it.
Yes. And one thing I really appreciated about this book, it has more appeal than to just people who have depression. It sounds like it would be such a downer book to read, mm-hmm. but it's really not. Yes, there is sadness to it, but there's an elegance to that sadness mm-hmm. that kind of gives it richness.
Yeah. When I read one or two of her poems, it's like a kind of like a comforting feeling. Like just like you said, not being alone.
Yes.
You know, because everyone, even if you don't suffer from depression, has had moments where they feel very sad.
Yes.
And I feel like anyone can identify with that. They don't have to be.
And she channels a lot of that sadness into kind of this bittersweet longing. A lot of mm-hmm. her poems deal with relationships. A lot of it, like I said, does have to do with that bittersweet nostalgia mm-hmm. for people specifically, either romantic or otherwise. And I feel like that makes it so much more relatable than just the depression element.
Yes.
And not only that, the way she talks about her past lovers is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is kind of building this almost like shrine to them that will have more permanence than the relationship itself ever had.
Yeah.
And I think she recognizes that. So I wanted to share part of her poem that's much longer. It's called How to Fold a Memory. One of the stanzas reads, "Ever since, I've been practicing forgetting. I've kissed the sky more times than I ever kissed you. I inhale purple haze in an attempt to smoke out the correlation between you and the scent of cinnamon. I drink as if I'm trying to save the world from drowning, to get my memories so drunk they might forget themselves by morning. But the trauma of daydreaming, the curse of muscle memory, my body keeps your secrets."
Very good.
Yeah. So definitely, I actually checked out some of the reviews on Amazon before mm-hmm. I bought the book because there are so many holds on it.
Yeah.
And one woman said that it really helped her get through her divorce. Mm-hmm. So it is an amazing book if you are in that phase where you're trying to move on from somebody. And
I might get this for my friend.
Yes. You want a healthy way to look at it and feel that sorrow, but in a productive way.
Yeah. I think especially with relationships, when they finish, you turn up, like, your heart is out of hospital, you think, well, maybe if I try harder, maybe if I do more, it'll be okay, because you miss them in this way that you can't describe, even if you know it wasn't a good relationship.
Yes.
That's happened to me. I think that's happened to most people. But giving you an outlet where you can, like I said earlier, let it wash over you, like, feel the feeling, but don't dwell too much in it. But I was very happy that she gave us these recommendations. I do think Chasley has a style, though. She's very anti-Robert Frost.
Yes, you can tell.
And very pro, kind of like the spoken word movement, where it's very fluid, and I think it's actually kind of a disservice to see it in print sometimes, if it's an especially lyrical poem, because
yeah.
that happens a lot, where I'll hear someone read it, and it's a completely different experience. Sometimes better, sometimes worse than
and
what you imagined in
this
your head.
This one actually had some pretty experimental layouts. This is the first poetry book I've read cover to cover since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it was definitely an experience, and I loved it. I mm-hmm. will definitely be picking up more. But not all of it is laid out like a poem.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely more modern.
A prose yeah. poem.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you still see the poetry in the way the words mm-hmm. flow.
Yeah. I would recommend yours, just because I've read a few poems out of it, and I've really liked it. But I would recommend mine as well, just... if you need, like, a the equivalent of like a firing up playlist. It's just a firing up poem list. We'll have to do this again and force another coworker to recommend books to us.
Yes. And thank you, Chasley. I think your recommendations were
spot
hits
on
for both people. So yeah. Stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.